Brother Randy Kidder, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to gather in your house once again and hear your word. Lord, open our hearts and minds to it. Change us from within, Father, and illuminate the things that we need to know the most. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Now, tonight on Session 9, the Millennium Reign of Jesus. Now, here's what I want the groundwork for you on this. This is taking place on this earth. You hear me say it all the time, but I need to stress it. This is not the new earth or the new heaven. This is this earth. Only on this earth did King David have a throne. Only relating to this earth did Christ say that he would rule on the throne of David. And no place in Scripture will you find where King David is coming back to rule on the throne. It is Christ. The throne was held by King David, set up in reference to the Christ to come. Now, remember, from the beginning of the age, from the beginning of Scripture, that we have has always been the focus on the second coming of Christ. More times about the second coming in the Old Testament than about the first coming of Christ. The whole focus has been on this second coming of Christ. You'll see something else on that in a moment. But I want you to set it in your mind. This earth is going to remain here until God destroys it. Now, we're getting ready to come in on the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign. I'll go over the millennial and all of that in a second. But paying attention to this, that during this time period and all the time periods leading up to it, after the Garden of Eden, you see the earth dying. The earth began to die as God put curse on the earth. When he cursed the ground, that curse would eventually destroy planet Earth. But planet Earth will not be destroyed until the end of the thousand-year reign. Interesting about the thousand-year reign. The thousand-year reign is going to take all of those that are involved with this period back to the day of the Garden of Eden. So you will see, as we study this, you will find that, well, you know, that's sort of like it was during the Garden of Eden. Yes, it was. Christ is on the throne. Christ is the monarch. Christ is ruling. There is not a democracy. There's no voting. There's none of this. Christ, the creator of all, is sitting on his throne. But the better is yet to come. The better is yet to come with the new heaven, the new earth, and the new ages that are going to come. Let's look at it. Session 9. Look at your front cover. Those of you who have the handout, you'll see Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, he's reigning from this time and forever, meaning we're ending the church age. The church age is gone. We're going into the millennial period. We got this. Okay, in the millennial period, as we'll study here in a moment, you're going to see this is a special period of time of this thousand years that's unlike anything that has been seen before. Don't know, for what extent of time that the Garden of Eden existed. We do have people who with supposition pure intellect is what they're playing from. This is what I believe type of stuff. They will put limits on it. I don't do that. because a thousand years is as a day, and a day is as a thousand years to God. So, but you had the beginning. It messed up. Man messed it up. All the way to the end, man still messing it up. And man will continue to mess it up even at the end of the millennial period. Man's final attempt to destroy God's kingdom. Isn't it amazing what the human race can do? First of all, what is the biblical millennium? The word millennium is made up of two Latin words, which are milen, 1,000, and in annum, of course, years. 1,000 years, the millennium reign. The thousand-year reign of Christ on earth after his second coming. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his right hand a great chain. He seized the dragon and the ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. Again, short time, I don't know. I've read some of this scripture to you the last session. But what the short period of time is, we don't know. But I thought you'd appreciate looking at, he must be set free. From the beginning, God had a plan. God has a plan continually in existence. And in the process of that plan, God says there's going to be a time I am going to chain Satan. He's going to be thrown into the abyss. But he must be set free for a short period of time at the end here. Now, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the soils of those who had been beheaded, the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, these are those that went through the tribulation period. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. There's not two first resurrections, so don't get confused on that. This is a part of that first resurrection. You will see in a moment that Jesus Christ is first resurrection. Whoever believes in Christ, whoever accepts Christ, is a part of the first resurrection. It's a part of Christ. Once you're a part of Christ, you're a part of the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection, who have part in Christ. If you've been here this morning, who are in Christ. The second death has no power over them, and that's a good thing. You don't want to mess with that second death. But they will be priests, here we are, you ready, of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, you and I then are a part of the first resurrection. The tribulation period of time, those who stood for Christ refused to take the mark of the beast. They are a part of the first resurrection through Christ. Those who believed in Christ, who accepted Christ, in this period, the church age, and all the way through the tribulation period, they will be reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Christ is on earth for the 1,000 years. Now let's break it down and see exactly what who we are, why we are, and what we're going to be doing. Are you ready?
What will the millennium period be like? You ready? It will be unique because of who is there. The millennium will be inhabited by two groups of believers. Group number one are the believers who have survived the tribulation. These individual believers will enter the kingdom in their natural physical bodies. They will live in houses, do work, they will marry, and they'll have children. Isaiah 65, verses 21 through 23. I just told you this, but I'm going to read you the background now. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. Because of their physical human condition, they will still possess the sinful nature, even though Satan is not present to tempt them. I want you now. I know that it's very easy for us to say the devil made us do it. But we seem to do just fine without the devil having any interference with us whatsoever. And it remains a fact. That's the human nature, Brother Randy. I got your mic, don't I? Okay, I'm coming. Yes, ma'am.
So what about the third of the angels that went with Satan when he was kicked out of heaven? Are they bound up to
with
him? Okay.
Wherever Satan goes, his spirits, those angels are with him. Wherever Christ is, those angels are with us. Now hear me on this. When you became a part of the family of God, you automatically received the protection of the angels of God and God's army. Those who would serve at the realm of God and all. Your children. Look at the presidents of the United States. When the Secret Service comes in to protect them, their family is all protected, falls underneath this. How much more the children of God, the family of God. Okay. Group number two are the believers who either died or were raptured before the tribulation. We will already have our new glorified bodies. We are going to be looking good, Gene. You got me? We are going to have a glorified body already. Now, we will not have the sinful nature, thus we will not sin. Woo! Man, how long I've waited for that one. When you're in your glorified body, you're in the body just like the glorified body of Christ. Remember what I was in the message this morning, that prayer that Jesus prayed? I in you, you in me, and me in them. It was a total connection that then when we are taken up by the rapture or we're resurrected at that time during the resurrection part, whatever, we've gone to meet Christ in the sky. Now, do you remember something on that scripture? And we will be where we will be with him forever. Meaning we will be with him. So wherever Jesus is going, we're going. Whatever is going on, being built, whatever new generations, whatever it is, we're going to be there and be a part of it. But we will have our glorified bodies and we will not sin. Revelation 20 verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. The second death is the death of sin. There, and that's where you go before the great white throne judgment, that, which is that second death can only be given to those who are guilty of sin. But they shall be, this is us, priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, how long? 1,000 years. So therefore, as the scripture says, we will reign with him here during this period on that 1,000 years. Jesus is the first resurrection. To believe in Jesus is to be a part of the first resurrection. Acts 26, verse 23. That the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Anybody that's not a Jew. Every one of us are Gentiles if you were not born Jewish. With Christ shall reign with him forever with his remnant. Proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Woo! That's an adoption and a half, isn't it? I'm not so sure I'd fit in very good with most good Jewish families. Praising the Lord. Jesus. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. Now, many say that that's Gabriel. He's got the trumpet. Or Michael, the archangel with the giant voice. Actually, the translation here is the voice of an archangel. I don't care which one it is. I'm for them. Aren't you? I'm for them. Okay. And with the trumpet of God. There's where they said that was Gabriel. But it says the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. You know, there could be more than just Gabriel, which I would mightily expect. There's a whole heavenly host of them. Okay. Trumpet of God and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Doesn't say we'll always be in the air, as some folk are trying to say. Well, you're going to be with, no, you're going to meet him in the air, and thus you'll always be at the Lord, right there in the air. You're going to be floating around for the rest of all time. No, we're going to be on a cloud playing a harp. No, we're going to be with Christ wherever he may be. Therefore, listen to this. Comfort one another with these words. The scripture is very comforting if we will allow its comfort. Don't get afraid of Revelation, the book of Revelation. It is to reveal the good that is going to happen with us. All the bad that is listed in Revelation, none of it affects us. It doesn't affect us. We are, for the first time in your whole existence, you're going to be above it all. Oh, you think you're above it all? Yep, I'm above it all during that period of time. When I leave this body, I'm above it all. I'm just floating right on, I'm just waiting for my ride. No more singing, right, Faye? What will the millennium be like? First of all, peace. How long has it been since you said that? Gosh, I think I said it several times today. I'd like to have a little peace. You know, just have you ever said, I'd like to have a little peace and quiet? Yeah. The trouble is, quiet to me is not peace. I got to have some kind of noise going on around me. Gosh, I'll leave the joke on that one alone. Okay. Isaiah 9, verse 7. of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of his government. Okay, he set up the millennial reign. There is an increase to that. The increase focuses on what comes after that millennial reign. Folks, this 1,000-year stuff is nothing compared to eternity. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. All right. On the reigning on the throne and the end of his kingdom will never take place, but it will continue to grow. Well, guess who gets to grow with him? Guess who gets to expand into the new worlds? Well, preacher, you're really getting out there now. People, I've been talking about a rapture going up to meet the Lord. I'm already out there. Thinking about the new worlds and the new era that is coming. That is nothing compared to the ages. The Bible tells us for the ages, plural, to come. Man, we're just in the church age. The ages to come. And we're on the right side. We've won. We need to get excited over that. Tell him, Brother Randy, get excited. Randy's asleep. He wasn't asleep on me. Isaiah 2, verse 4. He will judge between the nations. See, the nations are still in existence. You getting this? And will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Now, you will have some teachers that will teach, yeah, this is the new world. It is not. There's not going to be new. There's not going to be the war in the new world, people. Okay, this is here. We're still dealing with planet Earth. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. I like this. This is, you talk about peace. The wolf will live with the lamb, and they're not going to chomp them up in the lamb chops. The leopard will lie down with the goat and calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Whew. That's a good one. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's how full it's going to be. Zechariah 9, verse 10. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. Sea to shining sea. The next that will be taking place, it'll be like pure joy. Now listen, Isaac Watts' song, Joy to the World, all of you in the choir I'm sure already know this, was written to celebrate the second coming of Christ to rule and to reign on earth, not as a Christmas carol. That's correct. It was not for a Christmas carol. Sound pretty good. But it was written for the second coming of Christ. You mean your music minister didn't teach you that? Okay, Isaiah 9, 3 and 4. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoiced when dividing the plunder. I like that analogy. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Woo! That's joy. The Lord comes and he says, that's enough. Nation, you will not rule over this nation. The ruler is here. It's me. I'm he. No nation will rule over another nation. No individual over another individual. Okay.
No atom bombs?
No atom bombs. It's going to go out with the just like the first atom did, with a bang. Isaiah 12, 3 through 6. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Everyone, right now, there's no one, it isn't offered an opportunity for salvation. Let's say that none of, well, you know, if we Christians don't get there, they're going to die in their sin. I wish we Baptists quit doing that. Do you think that God is going to leave anybody out there without hope? He said he's open to all. Somebody's going to get to them. Somewhere they're going to hear the story about Jesus. If we don't get it to them, God's going to see to it that they get it by somebody or something. He is revealing himself directly to them. Yes. Okay. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Among you. Now, okay, Israel, this is what you were waiting for. That's what you said. I'm here. Now, what are you going to do with me? 1,000 years I'm going to spend with you. Then the next thing, the way it's going to be like is holiness. Holiness. Remember, the definition of holy is set apart for God's serving. Holiness is just a focus of God in us. The holiness, we have the Holy One and we're exerting holiness to others. Expressing God, who God is. It's what we're supposed to do with our preaching and singing. Isaiah 4, 3 and 4. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Oh, do you remember when we first recognized the spirit of fire? What do we call that day?
Pentecost.
Where the Holy Spirit comes down as fire. Okay. God's going to deliver the message directly to his nation, Israel, to his people. But no different than he did from the beginning, by fire, by the Holy Spirit. He is going to reveal himself openly to them, and they will see him. Now, they're still in the sinning state, and truly I can tell you they will sin, but they will be given the opportunity at that time. They'll make their choice for that 1,000 years. They will be in a new Garden of Eden type of concept for 1,000 years. And then reject Christ? Surely nobody would. Surely that wouldn't happen. Christ sat on the throne of David at 1,000 years, leading, bringing peace and holiness, taking care of his people. During this period of time, well, let me do this. the next step is a deeper knowledge. But during this period of time, with this deeper knowledge, people will be able to see the Word of God as He is, Christ. Christ is the Word. He's walking with us. He's ruling. Okay? We are with Him. Again, now, where's our house? Well, I'm staying with Jesus. Now, if y'all want to go on out and get in one of those hand-built things, you go ahead. I'm sticking with Jesus. Because He said I'm going to stick with Him from that period on. So wherever it is, we seem to be in and out and around and know exactly what's going on, because we will be a part of the leadership of planet Earth at that time. We can't die. Sin can't touch us. We can't be tempted. We got it good. We got it good. And Jesus is going to be glorified, for during this period, He's going to show us, all the believers, I told you this is what was coming. Now let me show you. The same He's doing with the nation of Israel. He's going to show the Jewish nation, this is what I was talking about. I have come. And they're going to have 1,000 years to learn what you and I had already accepted when we said yes to Jesus. Isaiah 11:9, they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Okay, Jeremiah 31:33-34. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. After that time. Anytime you see the day of the Lord, that day, that time, you're talking about the second coming of Christ. That's the time. Okay. After that time, declares, I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That's a special period, isn't it? No excuse. See, there won't be any excuse. Well, yeah, but Lord, Larry Vance just tricked me. No. Larry Vance didn't have anything to do with this. I revealed myself to you, and you rejected my personal deliverance to you. You rejected me on your own. No sickness nor deformity during this period of time. No Meniere's disease, for those of us who know what that means. Okay. No sickness or deformity. Isaiah 29:18. In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. That's this world, people. Okay. Isaiah 33:24. No one living in Zion will say, I am ill. Oh, every doctor's out of business. No medicine. Yeah, no, better than that, no pharmaceutical companies. I don't think the ghost companies are going to make it into heaven. Okay. And the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven. Ah. Isaiah 35:5-6. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Fishing in the Sahara. Woo-wee! Man, wouldn't that be something? As a result of the elimination of sickness, people once again will live extended lifespans. just as the people did before the flood. All right. Isaiah 65, verses 19, 20. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. For an old man who does not live out his years, or an old man who does not live out his years, he who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who falls, who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. You mean during this time, sin is still prevalent? Yes, Jesus, that's what we're doing, is ruling with Christ. There will be judgments given during this process. Okay, the accursed part of not living out, not living to be 100 years is a spiritual accursed. Something was wrong because Christ is saying, giving a chance after chance after chance. You and I do not know when that day is where it's called sending away your day of grace. Only God knows that. That's why it's our responsibility to keep praying, because we don't know that day on an individual. But there is a time to when the Lord says that he's not going to keep messing with us. And he will not dwell with man forever. He is not going to strive with us. Continue. Been given free the gift of love, the gift of life, the gift of age without aches and pains. Many who are born right at the beginning of the millennial will still be alive 1,000 years later at the end of it. If not, most will be. Okay, look, the next and the last one is economic prosperity. Isaiah 30, verse 23. Now, the reason I'm bringing this to you is to let you know again, this is here on this earth. All of this economic prosperity and all that does not have a thing to do with our eternity living. Now, that's the good times to come. You got that? This is God's going to complete what he began. And then after he completes what he has began with earth and with the situations on earth with us, then he says there will be no end to his ages to come. And there's where we come in again. But we're in good shape, especially out of that human body. Isaiah 30, verse 23. He will also send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground. And the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will graze in broad meadows. Jeremiah 31, verse 12. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Ezekiel 34, 26. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers and seasons. Showers of blessings bless them. Now you see where some of our songs are. Okay. There will be showers of blessings. I ought to write a song on that, Randy. Ezekiel 36, 29 through 30. I will save you from all, listen to this, your uncleanliness. Starts from the inside. Doesn't come from without, folks. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful, and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field, so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Joel 2, verse 26. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Now, the interesting thing about the end of the millennial reign is this. As people think about the Battle of Armageddon, we all listen to it. Politicians are good with this one now. Oh, it's Armageddon. It's Armageddon. I think you. Okay. They ought to know. Anyway, Armageddon is not the last battle, folks. But I want you to understand this from Scripture. The Battle of Armageddon is won by Christ, not by us. We're not fighting the Battle of Armageddon. But at the end of this thousand-year reign, when everything's been perfect for everybody, then, and you will, this will be next Sunday's, then we will see Satan released from the bottomless pit, from the abyss. Satan released, and he will come forth, and from all those who exist on the earth at that time, at the end of the millennial reign, from all of those, he will build an army that goes against Christ so great that it's like the grains of sand at the seas again. Now, we've lived that perfect time, but he will rise up this army. And they will be set up at the Battle of Gog and Magog. It's the battle that's never fought. So next week I'll let you in on that big battle. But that's when the Lord says, that's enough. And folks, when God says that's enough, that's enough.